Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
I'm Max Willis, Chief Science and Innovation Officer at Solaray. At Solaray, we've been creating vitamins and supplements since 1973. As an industry-leading brand, we know maintaining our legacy starts with an unwavering commitment to quality. We strive to craft the cleanest supplements on the market, and that often means stringent testing that goes above and beyond industry standards. We have a team of degreed professionals working on our state-of-the-art labs. We do full gamut of testing from identity to purity, potency, validation on all batches of raw materials to finished product testing. This helps to ensure that when a customer gets, say, a bottle of Solaray magnesium glycinate, they can feel confident that what they're taking is exactly what's on the label, 350 milligrams of chelated magnesium glycinate to help support their nerves, bones, and muscles. Quality, trust, and innovation is a big part of what makes Solaray different. To learn more about our products and testing, visit Solaray.com.
Welcome back to the Buyer's Desk. It's Angela, and I am thrilled to be joined today by my friend, Shauna Rogers, the Donor Relations Manager for the CCOF Foundation. How are you today?
I am doing well, Angela. How are you?
I am doing so great. Hoping you could just give us a little bit of like, who are you? How did you get where you are? Like a little bit of a rundown on you as we dive into the CCOF Foundation?
Yes, it's an existential question that I will boil down as much as I can. So CCOF is the California Certified Organic Farmers Foundation, the CCOF Foundation. And I found my way to it in 2017 after exploring my own journey with food as medicine and healing through being a consumer, trying to figure out how to eat in a way that would keep my body healthy and my inflammation down. I have been with CCOF for just about 8 years doing fundraising and awareness building about our different programs that support organic farmers all across the U.S. And CCOF was founded in 1973 by farmers for farmers during a time when organic did not have a definition. And it has since evolved to grow into one of the largest USDA certified nonprofit agencies in North America. CCOF has about 5,000 different certified organic farmers and ranchers and retailers across its network. And we also have an arm that does policy advocacy, and where I sit as the donor relations manager on the CCOF Foundation is our charitable arm, our 501c3, through which we do grant making to farmers across the US and also a lot of technical assistance to train organic farmers.
That is incredible. I'm assuming that even though you are in California, like you do have like a nationwide network of supporters and donors. Is that correct?
Yes, it is a good question and a question that is asked very often because our founders in the 70s weren't really thinking about expansion. It was at the time just California certified organic farmers. But yes, we have a presence all across North America. We support farmers in Mexico, in Canada, and almost all 50 states.
Amazing. And I love the definition that you gave, kind of breaking down a little bit, like there's the 501c nonprofit and the foundational part. Would you like, are we really just talking about like two totally separate entities, or will you just be a little bit more clear with me about how that actually works?
Yes, it's a great question. And depending on how nerdy the audience is, and I say that in the most loving way, we love people who are really interested in business structure and organization, but CCOF has three different entities, three different legal tax entities governed by three separate boards. And one of those is a charitable arm. One of those is the fee-for-service model certification. And then the other is a trade organization that does policy advocacy.
And I definitely understand. And yes, thank you for getting like some amount of nerdy specificity. We definitely are, I would call us an industry specific podcast. I'm not going to use the word insular, but I'm close to using the word insular. But no, I appreciate that. I think a lot of people see how the trade association shows up when we talk about like overarching organic issues. So it can be interesting to A, think about the breadth beyond California, but also B, you know, the need for actually having a structure like that so that you can support different organizations at different levels. So I appreciate the clarity. Will you look, can we just then, all right, got a sense of a little bit who you are. Thank you for the existential commentary. Got a sense of kind of how CCOF works, but can we back it up maybe one bigger step? And will you tell me a little bit about just, let's talk about organic and why we're still talking about organic, why organic matters in 2025?
Yes. You have, I love all of these questions. They're
just small ones, just like a loose, you know, like just a little specificity point of, you know, knowledge here or there.
Right. Well, I can speak to that question from who I am and how I found organic and then elaborate further into the broader organic situation, if you will. And I'm very lucky at CCOF. We are surrounded by soil scientists who understand organic from a plant health and a climate health standpoint. We are surrounded by higher education, PhD folks who understand food systems and access to healthy, nutritious food, such as certified organic food. But a lot of humans out there don't really know much about organic, and I was one of those humans. And I, in my early 20s, was doing some alternative medicine, which really is traditional medicine that has been around for thousands of years. And I had a health coach talk to me about organic, and it was the first time I had heard of it. And she explained it in a really simple way, which was, you know, organic bans certain pesticides that are really bad for your body. And that is one really trite understanding of organic that's out there. So yes, it is true that certified organic has legal barometers, is that the right word, or legal like bumper lanes, so that farmers practicing certified organic are banned by law from using really harmful petrol-based pesticides, synthetic pesticides, and herbicides. I mean, so that's one way we can look at organic, but organic really is a whole systems approach to farming, which is what I have come to learn after being in this role for almost 8 years. Organic is how a farmer or a rancher approaches growing from not just a place of sustainability, but truly from a regenerative place. And I say that word with caution because I know regenerative has a lot of different meanings right now. But an organic farmer has by law a requirement to submit an organic system plan to a certifier like CCOF or a similar certifier and say, hey, here's what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. I'm not using any of these pesticides. I'm rotating crops. I'm using this compost. These are all the things that I'm doing to ensure that I am meeting the requirements of certified organic. Again, these are legal requirements that include maintaining or improving soil health, rotating animals. If you have livestock integration, there is a very, very long list of all of the different requirements a certified organic producer must meet, which is why it's very difficult and sometimes off-putting if a farmer does not want to or cannot for any reason jump through those hoops. And I'll stop there because that was a lot about organic. Is there anything specifically from that you want me to elaborate on?
I often find myself highlighting things that my guests talk about and not necessarily having a question. In this instance, I love thinking about organic as a system and as like a whole, like, you know, we just, when we think about the end product as the retailer, as like a beautiful mango that's in my produce department that has a 9 in front of the PLU because it's organic or it's just labeled organic. That seems like a great, there wasn't pesticides that was used in this production. But then talking to someone on your side of this, thinking about how much a farmer has to invest in terms of time and energy and planning. And I love the way you use the word sustainability, not necessarily the way we would think about it in an environmental sense, but just in a, like, I want to continue to cultivate this crop for years and years. And what is the best way for me to do that? So I love thinking about it as a system and not just as this, again, like this end product. And I like that you did that. Because you referenced your own personal journey to organic, will you just tell me a couple of things that you have found to be surprising or not intuitive when it comes to working with organics or farmers or food?
Yeah, surprising or not intuitive. I'll start with surprising. I learned early on how similar an organic system in a farm, like managing an organic system in a farm, has parallels to managing a healthy human body. Because to be healthy as a human, we have a bunch of different systems that we have to manage, our digestion, our relationship health, our exposure to sun and fresh water, things like that. As a certified organic farm, there is a similar health of the microbiome, if you will. So like I dove pretty deeply into understanding all of the different beneficial microbes in healthy certified organic soils that then make the plant healthy, that then when consumed by the human makes the human healthy, and the real intersectionality in the full circle of humans eating and growing and cultivating organically being beneficial for the farm and for our health. So I think the more I peeled back the layers, because I am not a scientist. I have farmed, but I am not a farmer. And the more I've learned from the amazing farmers in our community, and the more I look at the way that farms are managed, I'm like, oh, like when we treat ourselves similarly, of course, this is such a broad strokes, like poetic way to look at it, but that's how I see it. Like when we treat ourselves with this system approach and this approach of healthy inputs and, you know, we are not dissimilar from farms in that way. So that was the most, I'd say, surprising thing. It is fairly intuitive, I think, when you really boil it down, but not intuitive about certified organic farms. I had no idea how much infrastructure there is in the world to ensure that a certified organic farm is actually certified organic. There's so many labels in a retail space, in a packaged food space, and while infrastructure exists for many of those labels, it's quite different from certified organic, because early days of the certified organic movement in North America, CCOF's farmers, along with farmers all around the US, approached the government and said, hey, organic right now doesn't have a definition. We really believe that organic systems need to be managed in this way, and we want it to be regulated. And it's very, very rare for an industry to approach the federal government and ask for regulations. But the integrity behind the certified organic label was so important to these farmers that they did just that. And since then, there is a multi-billion dollar industry built around that infrastructure. So there are certification operations managers all across North America working directly with farms, with food producers. So if you're buying a packaged cereal, to ensure each step along the supply chain has that integrity of not being exposed to the harmful pesticides, of being part of an organic system plan. And from the moment it is planted in the ground to the moment it is in your kitchen, it is certified all along the way. So it was not intuitive for me when I was learning more about the actual nuts and bolts of certified organic, but there's a lot.
Yeah, I think that is an awesome segue to talk a little bit about the Future Organic Farmer Grant Fund, because you think about, I love the thinking about the pioneering farmers going to the federal government and asking for regulation and on a lot of levels asking for recognition of what they're doing. And I appreciate that so much. It feels important on a million levels. But what I also in my career in grocery have in my head that it's very challenging as a farmer to get your children or actually really anyone at all to want to take over that farm from you. We are at a place where we value our food system, certainly, but it doesn't ever feel like farming is this illustrious career that frankly, I feel like it should be, since it is the backbone of pretty much our entire food system. And I'm getting to a question, Shauna, I promise. But basically, let's talk a little bit about the next generation of farmers and the work that CCLF is doing in order to help that whenever they can.
Yeah, it was a nice long segue that helps frame my response. So farmers in the United States face a host of different barriers to even becoming farmers, let alone certified organic farmers. And early in 2012, 2013, CCOF was fortunate enough to have a lot of different industry leaders coalesce around the aging farmer population and try to engage a solution to the aging farmer population in the United States. Many farmers are selling their land to developers instead of keeping it in agricultural production due to economic pressure. Beginning farmers often lack access to land and education and resources. Farming is not known for being a particularly economically viable career. So CCOF's 501c3, the CCOF Foundation, launched a Future Organic Farmer grant program in 2014 with partners like IMFRA, with other industry partners like Organic Valley and other certified organic values aligned partners across the industry. And this Future Organic Farmer grant program, which is now in its 11th year of granting, we have given over $1 million to support education of the next generation of organic producers. And that doesn't necessarily mean young people. It often has meant younger people, you know, 18 to 25 year olds that are starting their careers. But many times it might be someone who's already been farming for a long time. So someone in their 30s or 40s or 50s who really wants to learn how to grow organically and maybe did not get access to education that allows them to grow organically. So our scholarships, which are $5,000 scholarships to support organic education, provide a little bit of cushion, a little bit of support for anybody who is studying organic and regenerative organic agriculture across the U.S. So we give away this year, you know, we gave away 25 grants to students across the United States, and we hope to be able to increase that impact as years come.
That's so amazing. I mean, I feel like sometimes that is a problem that I hear spoken about where there isn't, you know, there's not a perfect solution. But I feel like just giving people the opportunity to apply for a grant to stay in the industry is an amazing step in a great direction. And I really have always just loved that work. It's a great segue again, I think, Shauna, if you'd like, to talk about some work you and I are doing together this is going to air the month that we are actually doing this. But before we tee up that kind of that call to action, et cetera, I want to just ask you, when I asked you to be on the Infra Buyer's Desk podcast, was there anything outside of the Grow Organic campaign promotion that you wanted to make sure that we talked about that we have not gotten to talk about yet?
Excellent question. There is. So CCOF has launched an endowment fundraising campaign. So again, a little bit of a nerdy answer. Most charitable foundations that are long-lasting have an endowment whereby they have a principal investment that pays itself back over time. That is a very broad, non-economic education way to say it. But in short, we are looking for large investments to allow our endowment to grow, and we will be able to fund future organic farmers, farmers experiencing hardship, and farmers that are transitioning to organic. Those are our three main programs. We'll be able to fund those farmers in perpetuity. So if anybody listening is interested, I think my contact information might be in the show notes or in the summary.
I am happy to make sure that your contact is in the show notes and possibly the summary, but definitely we will make that happen, no problem. And it would be amazing if that it created some additional connections. I think that a lot of the work that you end up doing here is being the connector of things, and that's an excellent example. Anything else you want to make sure we just make sure our listeners know? And it's totally okay if the answer is no.
Yeah, CCOF has a growing presence on social media. So we are on almost all of the channels at CCOF Organic. Please follow along.
Perfect plug. All right. You and I have partnered in order to give our Infra retail members an opportunity to find some additional support through their customers for CCOF. It's the Grow Organic campaign promotion. And we are asking Infra members to either use some kind of rounding up technique with their POS system or actually create a totally separate PLU to give customers the opportunity to give during the month of September. What are our consumers being asked to specifically give money to?
Your consumers, your shoppers, your people who are at a participating Infra retail store in the month of September are being asked to support the future of organic agriculture by supporting the CCOF Foundation's programs. Any donation that you choose to give at the register when you are shopping at an Infra store will go to support our programs, one of which is the Future Organic Farmer program that we've talked about. The other is our hardship assistance program, supporting farmers experiencing extreme distress, whether that is climate-related distress or otherwise. And the third is a organic transition program. So any amount donated will fund the future of organic through the CCOF Foundation to help us create a world where organic is the norm.
Beautiful. I think that is the perfect ending to this interview. I really look forward to seeing how our retailers and their customers are going to show up. You know, we have not driven a lot of these register-based campaigns, but you definitely see them out in the marketplace. And it can be amazing how just like really small dollar amounts, you know, compound to create big things, which I'm sure you are absolutely aware of working at a foundation. Shauna, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your time today. We're going to get your contact information in the show notes. And yeah, maybe we'll have you back on the podcast. You know, organic is definitely an issue that we're going to continue to talk about in our industry. No question. Join us next time as Chris speaks to the Rodale Institute, which actually Shauna teed up for us quite well today, talking a little bit about regenerative organic. See you next time.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislow, outreach manager and segment contributor.